Coaching as Benevolence, a podcast for people who are curious about using coaching for self-development. I'm Erin with Roots and Wings Grief and Loss Coaching.
And I'm LaShawn with Michelle Sage Place Positive Intelligence Coaching.
Today, we are coming back together after a week off where we're going to talk a little bit about fall and the changing seasons and what that means metaphorically for us as humans, specifically about how we move through life transitions, how we let go and hold on to things, how we might be going inward this time of year, and at the same time, how we might be drawn into community in different ways this time of year, even more so than in some other parts of the year. So a lot of these holding the both and pieces that fall represents in our lives helps us as coach practitioners to also hold that spectrum with a container of gentleness and flexibility, and also hope that that permeates out to the people we work with and those who are listening, that this time as we move through this fall transition can be just that, a container for you to have gentle nature toward yourself and maybe even be reflective about what's going on with you in the natural world, as well as the community you are situated in. And fall always brings in, it ushers in change, whether we recognize that or not. So part of the work that we'll talk about today as well is being a little bit more mindful with that change and maybe being a little bit more in tune with ourselves as we glean the lessons of fall to live the life that we want. So LaShawn, with fall here and the trees just magnificent right now in Longmont. I mean, we have the reds and the yellows and the greens and very bright this year, bright colored fall. What are you noticing about yourself and maybe yourself as a coach with the changing season and with fall specifically?
What I'm noticing about myself is introspection. At this time of year, I have this tendency to really look within and do an inventory of the year, because it is getting close to the end of the year with preparing for, you know, Thanksgiving, and then Christmas is just around the corner after Thanksgiving, and the stores are not helping because they have Halloween stuff out in August. They have Thanksgiving stuff out in September. And now I went into the store and they have Christmas stuff. And it's like, guys, Halloween hasn't even come yet. What's going on? You know, but it kind of triggers for me these thoughts of how far have I come? What have I accomplished this year? What do I want to accomplish next year? What have I learned? So it's really an introspective time for me. And another thing that comes up for me when I'm watching the changing leaves, I mean, here in Colorado, we have such beautiful fall colors, and we have been so blessed this season with no heavy snow or rain. And we've had a much longer time to enjoy the fall colors. And just now the leaves are starting to fall and the streets are blanketed with orange and yellow leaves. It's a beautiful and magical time. And then when you think about Halloween coming up with the kids, thinking about what they want to be for Halloween and planning their costumes, and there's that whimsical, childlike energy around this time of year of playing and pretending and using your imagination in fun and innovative ways. So there's so many emotions that I run through in this time of year, because it's such a transitional time of year. And especially in Colorado, it's not very long. It's a very short time of year. Usually Halloween is when we get snow, and then it's just the leaves have all fallen by then. And, you know, it looks like winter. I really do think a lot about transitions. I think a lot about the transience of time, of our lives as humans. I also think of metaphors like the autumn years. And I think, oh my gosh, am I in the autumn years? I don't feel like I'm definitely not in the summer. I'm feeling like I'm in the autumn years. What are your thoughts, Erin?
I like the spectrum of the joy that you brought up and that fall brings, a whimsical piece, but also this introspection and maybe some things that aren't as necessarily happy. And I like that as a framework in some ways for what fall can do for us. And here in Colorado, it does get dark so early. And that is a significant shift in our patterns of nature in comparison to summer and comparison to early fall. And so part of that darkness brings with it, for me, some seasonal depression in some ways, some difficulty maybe doing more, or and maybe that's the point as well. Maybe this is a time to, as we go inward, we're still reflecting, we're still using up all of that energy to do that internal work and that personal development work. And so sometimes it may feel like we aren't doing enough on the outside when we're also kind of coupling that intentionality of our internal work with our day-to-day typical schedule. And so holding enough space to be able to hold what I want and need to from day to day, I think is really important this time of year. And being okay with the letting go piece that the leaves represent, the leaves just let go. They don't hold on, as Carrie Newcomer says in her one of her songs. She says, oh, I think the song actually might even be called Leaves Don't Drop, They Just Let Go. But I'll just read this piece where it says, because leaves don't drop, they just let go and make a space for seeds to grow. And every season brings a change. A tree is what a seed contains. To die and live is life's refrain. So kind of like going inward, like you talked about, LaShawn, and living outward is all part of these pieces. But to be able to do that with a level of buoyancy, a level of letting go, a level of non-attachment to outcomes, and more of an engagement with the process. And I like that you said this time of year is a key part of the year for you to be reflecting on, what went well, what are you looking forward to in the new year? Because I think that does make a lot of sense during this time to just be curious in this space of fall, not necessarily tied to an outcome for the coming year, but intentional about our wants and needs and thinking and planning around the coming year and letting go of what's not working for us and letting go of what's not serving us and letting go of what's not serving others. I think that piece of letting go can be actualized in so many different ways that that can be another way to think about those leaves letting go. What are we letting go of that we need to let go of? And I think when we ask ourselves that question, we'll probably have a pretty natural response. We'll be able to say that. But then the hard part is, once we see what we need to let go of, once we have that awareness, what do we do with that? Right? What do we then do? Because that's the harder part and the messier part and all of those things. So I like this lyric from Carrie Newcomer, and I like this concept of thinking about letting go as fall personifies and is a good metaphor for. LaShawn, you mentioned your autumn season. When you think of fall now versus fall, maybe even 5 years ago, what shifted for you?
Well, I mean, of course, I was in Japan 5 years ago. And so the what's shifted for me there is that the scenery is much different. And also the weather is different. It doesn't get cold in West Japan where I was until November, December. So it's quite warm in September and it's quite warm in October and it's beautiful, awesome weather that it's not too hot, not too cold. It's a great time to go out. It's a great time to enjoy nature. And also, what has changed for me from 5 years ago was where I am in life. I'm in a very different place than I was 5 years ago. 5 years ago, I was very comfortable in my career. I was traveling, doing presentations in international teachers' conventions. I was really comfortable with what I did, and I felt very competent in my work, working with students and being a university professor. And now I feel like I probably did 10 years ago when I was getting into my career and learning and growing in my career. Now it's the same now. I've changed careers, I've changed roles. I have a very different perspective, and things are more, I would say, condensed, and seems like it's not just my little world anymore. Because when I was a teacher, it was my classroom, it was my students, and it didn't really, it wasn't like high stakes like it feels like in this nonprofit role that I'm in, where I feel like so many lives depend on my being competent, my going out and finding people who can resource and support the nonprofit organization where I work. It's so different. It feels heavier, but at the same time, it's exciting. And every day is new. And every day I'm learning something different. And I want to go back to what you said when you read the lyrics of Carrie Newcomer's song, "A tree is what a seed contains." I love that because it really speaks to potential, and it speaks to the doneness of things. Like the seed, you see a seed and you see a seed as not complete. But that phrase, "a tree is what a seed contains," encompasses on the idea that we are kind of worlds within worlds within worlds. And there's a seed and it contains a tree. And juxtaposing those two things, like the tiny, tiny seed and the huge tree, because trees can be huge if you think about oak trees or, the trees that we have here in Colorado. And there's also the sense of time as well that's contained in that seed, because a tree, these big trees that I'm looking out the window, and I see these huge trees towering over the building that I'm in. And I think, how long did it take that tree to get that big? How many years, how many autumns has that tree seen? And that's what I think about when I hear those lyrics, or when I think about those lyrics. It's so, that's such a powerful phrase there. It's so poetic and makes me want to listen to Carrie Newcomer. You bring her up a lot.
I do, and she happened to be in Boulder, and I heard her live. And I think I was the youngest person in the room by quite a bit, which is fascinating in some ways. I was like, "Oh, what draws people to her music?" And I think she's such a gifted storyteller, and I want, and I hope that people throughout many generations down to, my kids can have access to that gift of hers, because she's been around for so many years, and I think she's 66 years old now and still doing these concerts and producing and coming up with more creative work. And she talks about her becoming through all these projects and how it's kind of changing, right? Like these things all lead to the next thing, just like fall leads to winter, just like the seed leads to this tree. But there's so much more nuance in that, right? Like there's so much more. There's the community aspect, the relying on each other, the water the tree needs to grow, the sunlight. And it makes me think too of a article I saw today on Good News Network about how we shouldn't be raking our leaves because they are part of what insects need and what animals need and things, and us disrupting that can be a little bit problematic. So also thinking about like what are we forcing in our lives, and like just and sometimes we do need to disrupt things. Sometimes disruption is part of the process. But also like where's that line between what is being forced in our lives versus what is being lived out, like a tree, or what is being let go of, like the leaves, or the tree letting go of the leaves. So I think personally I bring that up just because I want to hear that le lesson myself and internalize that piece of like, what am I forcing and what am I listening to? And I will say that the more I let life lead me, the better off I am, the better off the people around me are. And it's been a long journey to get to that point. I used to be very, very much the type of person that was highly overprepared and like just a type atypical personality is how I would, I know that's overgeneralization, but that's was me. And I thought that I could, if I worked really hard, if I stayed very focused on my career, on my academics, that path would lead me to what I wanted, needed, and what I could give back to the world, right? Like that's not something that worked out. That was when I lost that way of being, and really the death of my daughter was the impetus for losing that way of being. I followed life a little more and I feel like I back more. I'm healthier. I don't know. It just feels so much more natural, like the changing seasons and more buoyant. So I think that word, force came up in the conversation today because I needed to say it out loud. And then I needed to interrogate it for myself, having lived that forced peace for so many years of my life.
No, it was really interesting what you said about forced. And when you said that in relation to us raking our leaves, putting them in in trash bags and putting it in a landfill somewhere, unless of course you're taking it to get mulched or whatever. But one thing that brought up for me what you were talking about, because I just had very recently I had a conversation with my daughter. We were driving to school, and I said, "You know, it's so weird. Why do we rake our leaves and put them in trash bags? It's natural for us to just have the leaves stay on the ground. It's beautiful. I don't really see a reason to rake them up." It's so interesting that you should bring that up. And what also came up for me about what you said about forced is the convention behind it. The reason that we rake our leaves and we have a nice manicured lawn is because it's a convention. And it's a convention that some of us mindlessly follow. And I think that also is something to think about, consider when we are reflecting on our year or we're reflecting on our lives and our role and our place in nature. Our role and our place in the ecosystem, and where are we disrupting? Where are we forcing? Where are we creating our artificial outcomes in the system and in the cycle? Where are we stopping that? And then that brings me to, just how we as a society, and Aaron, you can probably speak to this more than I can, as a society, deal with the end of life. Because when I think about leaves falling, and when I think about why we rake leaves, is because we don't like the look of decaying leaves. Maybe it just seems cluttered, or I don't know. But to me, it's this beautiful blanket on the surface. And it's beautiful to me. And the smell of leaves, when you crunch them and the sound of crunching leaves, when you're a child or an adult and you pile those leaves up and you jump in the leaves and you throw the leaves around, like you can imagine the joy that comes with playing in fall leaves. I'm not sure why it's, seen as a good thing to, put those leaves in a bag and not see the full cycle that a leaf goes through from, when it's just a bud to when it's this beautiful verdant color, if we're talking about deciduous trees, and then it turns into this brilliant yellow or brilliant or deep rich purple or red, and you see all these beautiful, beautiful colors coming out of the leaf, and then the leaf falls. And I love how you said the tree lets go of the leaf, because I was thinking the leaf lets go of the tree. I love the way we saw that differently. And when it falls, that is the end for that leaf, but not the end of the life cycle, right? So the leaf is going to decay, and it's going to, like you said, nourish the bugs, and it's going to nourish the ground, and it's going to become part of the ground and part of the soil. And I think that's something that need to take that leaf and rake it with other leaves and put it into a bag so you don't have to see that, or maybe that's an unconscious thing, but that's something to think about too. How are we shoving away or suppressing, denying that part of life?
I love that last question you ended with. And I think it's such a good question to ask for so many different areas. What are we shoving away with our emotions? What are we shoving away within our community? How are we treating other people? How are we treating ourselves? I don't know. I think a lot of those questions come up in fall as a time to maybe let go. And I love that you said the leaves let go or the tree. I think, yeah, like with the both and there, but maybe to let go of things during the season so that you can go into winter, which is a season of rest, really. You can go in to that next part of the cycle, like you mentioned the word cycle, with maybe some hope and some renewal, but also a recognition of your needs to rest. Or maybe some people actually, that's where they feel their need is to play or work harder or certain things like that too. So it can look different. And I think that's the other piece. While there's the natural cycle here and we're all a part of that, you know, some of us do tend to maybe have higher points of creativity in the fall or the spring or the winter or the summer. So that piece can be all over the place. So as one listens to themselves of what they're letting go of during the fall, it's like, what are you also holding on to for you in terms of the work that you give the world, the person you are and your way of being? So those are other things that came up for me as you were talking. And then to kind of think about dying and the life cycle and how we kind of, with end of life, it's very mysterious in terms of how people approach it, because it's pretty quiet, right, among families or among communities, at least in Western culture, I see that. So it does make it a little bit more scary, more fearful for people, because we want to know from other people, how are you doing this thing, right? Like, what are some best practices? What brings hope in these situations? Those types of questions that I think we all have, but because we've been so quiet about it, we really just don't have that cultural knowledge or understanding. So I think that comes up a little bit with that metaphor of the leaves, of representing dying and that sort of thing. And then also just generally, I think of like end of life or people who, not necessarily who are nearing death, but maybe our older population and how they're treated and how they're called in and how we celebrate or engage with them. You know, that looks a lot different from my experience than a new baby that's born or how we're engaging with toddlers. So, you know, I'm curious about that, right? Like, I think that's another space where we could examine at a societal level how we support our aging population, you know, more wholly and better. I know it's come a ways, but it has a long, long ways to go. And then on the other end, like you mentioned, I want to get back to this playfulness aspect of like the Halloween and then the community aspect of people coming together in the fall. You know, in our Western culture, it often is symbolized as this time of year as full of really good, rich foods in terms of vegetables from the garden that are made into soups, heavier meals around Thanksgiving or Christmas, those sorts of things, and then more apples and pumpkin desserts and all of those smells. Like the sensory aspects of fall also come to mind for me. And I think that that gets overlooked too, right? Like those sensory aspects of something that can be life-giving and hope-filling when we think about like what apple and cinnamon smells like together, or you know what other people's favorite smells are of fall. You know, you mentioned the smell of leaves. So fall also tends to be for me space where I think I have a much more sensory experience because of the changing colors, because of the, like, you can hear the leaves crunching under your feet, the smells. I don't think I get that as much in other seasons. Like in spring, yes, there's like flowers blooming, but there's, I think fall has like this extra layer of sensory output. And I think that's another thing. It shines bright, right? Even into its demise or death or winter, there's the space of shining brightly. And so actually that reminded me of a picture. So I took on my walk yesterday. Around Longmont, they have on the boxes painted different sayings and I don't know, different pictures. But this one is from, it's Tyler White. I don't know who that is, but it says, "Never apologize for burning too brightly or collapsing into yourself. That is how galaxies are made." And I was like, oh, that's like a metaphor for fall too. We tend all shines bright and collapses on itself, and there's a new galaxy really created. So yeah, I guess I'm hanging on to all of the goodness that fall brings as well.
Yeah, I like that you mentioned the sensory input or output of a fall, and I do think there is that extra layer of sound, the crunching of leaves, the blowing of wind, the sound of people. They, especially in Colorado and in Longmont, there's people are outside more. Although they are outside in the summer, it does seem like they're outside more in the neighborhoods during the fall season than they are in the summer. In the summer, they seem to like go out or do things outside of the neighborhoods. I just feel like there's, people in their yard more, people at the parks more. And so the sound of children playing, that also is for me, I associate that with fall as well. And then of course, as you go into the winter, you have like Christmas carols and things like that. So you have the sound of celebration, of communal celebration and communal expression. So I think that happens more so during this time of year than any other time of year, that choral singing and that kind of thing. And I also want to point out what you were saying about the food and the smells and things like that. Fall is harvest season, in Colorado and other places that have four seasons. You have harvest in the fall. In Japan, it was the same way. Lots of rich foods, potatoes, those type of foods that you imagine in a soup or a stew. When it gets a little bit cooler in the morning and at night, those foods that make you warm inside, that is something that I saw in Japan as well. So lots of sensory experience there. Very rich, and as you said, burns bright as it collapses in on itself. And I love that celebration of being at the height of your journey or the height of your expression, burning bright, burning in itself. There is a something having to do with consuming. Like when you think of, when I think of burning, I think something is being consumed. And then there's the output that comes out with the fire and the smoke. And the falling into yourself or collapsing in on yourself. That also is really interesting because those two do seem to be opposites, but at the same time, it could be seen as the reverse of each other. One is outward, the other one's inward. In its most extreme, is kind of what I'm thinking. So there's just so much, and fall is rich and full. And it does seem to be at a height. It does seem to be that there's heights there. There's you have harvest. So all of the seeds that were sown in the spring and then grew, through the warmer months come out, and you have all of these rich foods that then become part of a feast and a celebration of life and abundance and community. Those are the things that I think of when I listen to you talk about the sensory aspect of fall. And it really increases my appreciation and deepens my appreciation of fall and all of the lessons that we can learn from this season.
The celebration of community. And I like that you noted that community and community, at least here in our community, people in the fall seem to be more out in their neighborhoods. And I agree with that. It's, I feel like in summer, we don't see very many people out in our neighborhood. But once fall gets here, people are eating dinner on their patios, kids are playing outside a little bit more just in their yards. That sort of thing. So I think, yeah, there is that difference that I never even would have thought of without you sharing that. So thank you, LaShawn. That was really interesting to me to think about. And then also the other thing that fall has is you mentioned the blanket of leaves, like the leaves blanketing the earth. And that's what I think of when I think of fall too, like a fuzzy blanket, a warm, cozy couch with a blanket and a warm drink or something. That comes to mind when I think of fall. And that level of, I don't know, warmth that can come from those sensory aspects is really inspiring in a way, because I often think of that stuff coming from within or from community, from other people. But I guess I'm having this newfound appreciation in this conversation too about the sensory aspects being that warmth and how they're giving and we're receiving and in that way. And I think that's really neat too. Yeah, any other thoughts on fall or any areas we haven't yet explored?
I'm just thinking, I think we've covered so many different aspects of fall and the lessons of fall. One thing that comes to mind is slowing down. I think something that happens in fall is a kind of slowing down, although it does kind of rev up for Christmas and the holiday shopping and that kind of thing. But I think it's just before that hustle and bustle of the Christmas season that we have time to really slow down. And one of my favorite holidays of the year is Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving happens in Canada. It happened, I think, a week ago. And then here in the United States, it's going to be happening in November. And the thing I love about Thanksgiving is it's about slowing down. Of course, if you're a family that likes to watch football, it's about watching football. But it's also about being with your family and eating good food and making wonderful memories. So that's one part of autumn that I've always appreciated and something that I savor about the fall season is that part of the season where everything stops and you get to sit down at a nice table with your family or your friends or, whatever, your loved ones, and really appreciate each other. And there's no pressure to give a gift or spend money that you don't have. So, and there's a coming together and there's a focus on community and it's focus on relationships. And that's what I love about fall. And I love about that holiday, Thanksgiving.
So, baby, are we nearing our time for a coaching nugget of wisdom?
We certainly are.
Well, okay. I felt like there needed to be like a cheer there, like, yes, we are.
Woohoo!
Coach. Anyway, what you were saying about appreciation of family comes to mind here, as one goes into the darker times of the year and trying to find opportunities for appreciation can be a helpful tool to navigate the slowing down as well as kind of whatever is coming up for people inwardly. So as one approaches maybe even this upcoming holiday of Halloween, maybe you can find 3 to 5 things you appreciate about that day, about the individuals that are showing up in that space that day. So really kind of focusing on what you appreciate in that space. And it can be, I think, when you tie it to a holiday, easier to remember sometimes to do, like Halloween or Thanksgiving. So yeah, try it on Halloween. So that's my mind.
I love that. Mine would be about the lessons of fall or autumn. And what are some things that you can take from this discussion that we had in terms of letting go, abundance, sensory input, and those things that make fall uniquely its own season? And I want to extend that to where are you in your life? What season are you in? And how can you appreciate the season that you're in. Thanks for joining us for Coaching as Benevolence. I'm LaShawn with Michelle Sage Place, Positive Intelligence Coaching.
And I'm Erin with Roots and Wings, Grief and Loss Coaching.
Have a benevolent day.